Certainly appreciate the song service and how effective it was in motivating us and singing those great songs of hymns to Almighty God and the word of prayer by the preacher here, Brother Wayne, and thanking God for each of you and your attendance, all of the elders and deacons and each and every member that works and labors upon this mountain. As we continue our train of thought, we will ask you to turn your testaments to that old familiar passage of Scripture, that narrative, Psalms 23. And of course, as we looked at on this morning, we showed you how if we do not make it to heaven, it's certainly nobody's fault but our own. Because we see what the Psalms is saying and showing us on this morning. Where in verse number 1, he says that the Lord is my shepherd. And that just simply shows us I have God's help in front, out front of me. And of course, verse number 6, his goodness and his mercy is behind me. I got all of that help behind. And of course, in verse number 4, his rod and his staff is on the side of me. So reason number 1, I got his help out front. Reason number 2, I got his goodness and his mercy behind me. And reason number 3, I got his rod and his staff on the side of me. With that in mind, as we looked at this morning with verse number 1, a secret to a life of satisfaction. God has everything that you and I need because when we obtain him as our shepherd, we cease to want. And of course, on this evening, we'll talk about how to get right and how to stay right with Almighty God. God, he supplies all of our spiritual needs because he restores, he revitalizes our soul. And also, he gives us, leads us in the paths of righteousness, so he provides our directional needs as well. And then on tomorrow night, we're going to look at how to be tickled to death to die, using verse number 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we want to show you how to be happy to die using verse number 4. And then we see that the Lord, he then supplies all of our emotional needs. There's no reason for us to fear because he is certainly with us. And then on Tuesday night, we're going to look at how God supplies, and he is omnibenevolent, and his all-wise providential care. He supplies our physical needs because he prepares a table before us, even in the very presence of our enemies. We'll look at verse number 5 with you on Tuesday night. And then as the Lord allows us, we will look at how God supplies all of our eternal needs using verse number 6 of these 6 verses, 118 words, where he shows us that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and then we can go on and live with God eternally. But then the present hour, we want to look at verse number 2 with you. Now, don't allow this song, because all of us have been quoting it. We know it from childhood on. Don't allow familiarity to not to cause you to study the Bible with us on this morning and try to get some help here. Notice verse number 2 with us. And we want to look at how to handle stress. Now verse number 2 actually shows us that when God makes us lie down in pastures that are green, and then he leads us beside waters that are still. Now, as Americans, as husbands, as wives, as fathers and mothers, as children, we all operate under a certain degree of stress. Some of you, I'm sure, have highly stressful jobs. Most of us will probably admit that this past week ha- has been a stressful week. Even when driving an automobile, because all of the rush hour traffic, construction, hustle and bustle, and throw in a little road rage, then we, amen, we know it is stress even operating that motor vehicle. Shopping, errands. So we live in a stress-filled society. And I want you to understand that I believe that the 23rd division of the book of Psalms, it addresses every man's need. If we go in there and if we dig it out, there is stress in rearing children. There is stress trying to get through school, through undergrad, grad. There is stress being married. There is stress being single. There is stress in striving to have a thriving congregation. Many of our leaders operate under stress. There is stress trying to be the preacher of the congregation. There is stress in the eldership. There is stress in men that have feet that are swift to service, known as deacons. There is stress all around us. But I believe verse number 2 can help us this morning if we study it together. And I'm going to give you a skillful, a plan, a managerial method of how to handle stress. Now notice it with me very observantly here. Verse number 2. The record says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The psalmist go on to say that he leads me beside still waters. Now, in order for us to understand what's going on here, we're going to have to take a script right out of the Bible, just how the Bible has it. In the Middle East, in the days of Palestine, the days of David, in our text, she would get up and graze beginning at 4 o'clock in the morning. The shepherd would lead his sheep from the sheepfold while the dew was still on the ground. It was usually quiet at 4 a.m. in the morning. But after approximately grazing for 6 hours, the sun in the Middle East would be extremely, extremely hot. And the shepherd would find some secluded shade where there was some green grass and where there were waters. And then the shepherd would make his sheep lie down for some 4 hours. Now when the sheep would lie down, this was the time that the sheep was most quiet. This was the time that the sheep, after having grazed for approximately 6 hours, they had ingested some grass or alfalfa or nutrients or oats. Now, they have digested what they had ingested. You see, the sheep has a certain type of stomach that it allows the sheep to what we call chew the cud. When the sheep would lie down by still waters, they had to bring up or regurgitate the grass that they had just eaten. Now keep in mind, it was at this quiet time that
they now would digest what they had ingested. I want you to file that away, because I got a point for you there. It was at this quiet time, this period, that the sheep would be adding mass, that the sheep would be adding muscle. It was at this quiet time that the sheep would be strengthening their meat. It was at this quiet time that the sheep was growing, that the sheep was maturing. It was at this quiet time that the sheep was developing. You see, when the shepherd had taken, or the sheep had taken in, the necessary nutrients, it was at this quiet time when they were able to produce wool. The shepherd is aware of the fact how important it is for his sheep to have some quiet time. It was at this quiet time when they were doing their best growing, their best maturing. It was at this quiet time that the shepherd would recognize. You see, a good shepherd knows how important it is to the life of his ministry. He knows how important it is to the life of his sheep for the sheep to lie down so they can do their best growing, so they can do their best developing. Notice again in verse 2. Verse 2 says, he maketh me. He maketh me to lie down. Notice verse 2. In green pastures. How to handle stress. Are you stressed? Are you? Are you in a hurry? In a scurry? In a worry? And have no place to go? You know, some people can't lie down and be still because of being so stressed out. They can't lie down in pastures that are green and rest by still waters. You know, on occasion myself, even my personal life, I could leave the church building on a Sunday evening. Normally the last one to leave. Soon as you get home, there goes the phone. Jumping off the hook. The same people you just left. And guess what? Right to the answering machine it goes. And then the members call, Brother Shepherd, I tried to call you and were you home? Yes, I was home. Well, why didn't you answer the phone? I was beside still waters, lying down in green pastures. That's where I was. Well, Brother Shepherd, now you know the devil doesn't take any time off. I know that. But if I didn't take any time out, I'd be just like the devil. Neighbor, we need to rest in green pastures. We need to lie down and be still by still waters. We need to find us a solitary place. We need to find us an unfrequent place. We need to find us a remote place. We need to find us a secluded place. We need to find us an unsocial place. We need to find us a deserted place. And you need to get yourself in a closet. You need to get up on a tree. You need to get out there behind the barn. Nobody but you and Almighty God. I'm talking about how to handle stress. You know why? That's when your growth comes. That's why. That's when your development comes. That's when your fruitfulness comes. That's when your maturity comes. That's when your strength of mind and peace of mind come. All of this ripping and running. All of this staying on the computer all day and all night. all this stand in front of the TV all day and all night. You need to get along with Almighty God so you can grow. We need to spend time with God. Now, secondly, I want to show you in this passage, in Psalms 111, here's a passage of scripture that shows us that we are just like sheep. And the Bible often refers to us as sheep. Know ye not, or know ye that the Lord is, he is God? It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. And we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. You remember the passage we looked at on this morning, John 10 and verse 16. Love the sheep that I have that is not of this fold. You remember passages like Matthew 25, 31 and 33, where it says that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, shall come in the glory and all his holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of the glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them, the sheep from the goat, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goat, set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. So when the Bible calls us, or when God called his children sheep, it is not much of a compliment as it is a description. Now, for the remaining moments as our discussion continues, I want to contrast, giving you three delightful dimensions. I want to contrast the description of sheep, the man, and sheep, the mammal, by only observing 3 points. First of all, I want to look at the dumbness of sheep. Secondly, I want to show you the defenseless of sheep. And then third and final, I'll show you that sheep has no sense of direction. Now, when we talk about or think about the dumbness of sheep, let me ask this by way of a question. How many of you in here that has ever seen a trained sheep? I mean, you've gone to circuses now. I know you have. And how many of you have ever seen a sheep trained to do anything? I'm talking about the dumbness of sheep. You see, sheep are not very intelligent animals. You've seen trained dogs. You've seen trained monkeys. You've seen trained birds. You've seen trained dolphins. You've seen trained horses. You've even seen potentially vicious animals trained. Killer whales. You've seen them. Lions, bears, elephants, tigers. But have you ever seen a sheep trained to do anything? Even pigs. Sheep are not intelligent animals. Sheep are not very competent. They're not very smart. And the Bible calls us sheep. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, sheep can't be driven. Sheep have to be led. We all are familiar with a cattle drive. We all familiar with horse roundups. You can even get in the back of hogs and sue it, or you can shoe chickens, guineas, turkeys. Have you ever seen a sheep trained to do anything? Sheep got to be led. Somebody got to get up front and out out front of a sheep. That's the dumbness of sheep. In Palestine, you never saw the shepherd behind the sheep. The shepherd will lead the sheep. We'll look at that in more detail using verse number 4 on tomorrow night. Then I'll show you. Not only sheep are dumb, but sheep are defenseless. Sheep have no built-in mechanism of built-in protection like other animals, or most other animals have. A deer can run, mules can kick, birds can fly away, lions can devour, tigers can claw, snakes bite, skunks have that spray ball up under their tail. He's not spraying no Chanel or Obsession or none of that stuff. But a sheep has no fangs, a sheep has no claws, sheep has no wings. They are defenseless. And what the sheep needs is a good shepherd. So it is in the church of our Lord, friend. That's what the sheep needs, a good shepherd. Sheep have no sense of direction. You remember Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it with our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne all of our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Here's where I want to be. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep have a proclivity to lose their way. They will graze and nibble with their head down. And if one falls off of that cliff, the others will never hold their head up to see he fell off that cliff. And they'll follow on down, and every one of them will graze right off of that cliff. What the sheep need is a good shepherd. And before long, without the guidance of a shepherd, they'll graze and stray their way out of sight. So many of us do the same thing. We'll begin to nibble on a little this, nibble on the God of materialism, nibble on the God of entertainment, and we'll start straying from Wednesday night Bible study, straying from Sunday morning study. Then we'll stray from Sunday morning's worship, stray from Sunday evening's worship, and we'll stray by nibbling and grazing out of sight. That's why the good shepherd in Luke 15:4, passage I know you're familiar with, that's why the good shepherd, he will lead the 90 and the 9 and go out there and go after the one. You know why? Because sheep have no sense of direction. And if you don't go out there and get him, neighbor, he'll never find his way back home. Sheep has no sense of direction. What the sheep needs is a good shepherd. And you know, some sheep they're keep straying away from the fold and keep straying away from the fold, and the shepherd would go out there and track him down and bring him back into the fold, and he keeps straying away. And you know what that Palestinian shepherd would do? He'll take that straying sheep and he would break one of his legs. That shouldn't have to happen to any one of us, should it? David says in Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray.
3, verse 72 sometimes.
It was good that I was afflicted,
that I might learn thy statutes. And you notice the sheep that's walking close to the shepherd. He may have a limp, but he's still in the sheep's fold.
Shepherd, sheep have no sense of direction. They need a good shepherd.
You know, nursery rhyme, Little Bo Peep has lost his sheep and don't know where to find them.
Leave them alone. They'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Oh, that's cute,
but that is not true. Neighbor, if you don't go out there and get that member that has fallen away, chances are they'll never find their way back home. Sheep have no sense of direction. You take a dog, for instance. That dog can find his way back home. When my daddy died, my daddy had 16 dogs. My daddy was known for his dogs ever since I've been in the world. He was known. If you ever come through Clark County, Alabama, you ask about J.E. Shepherd. Everybody knew him because of his dogs. And the same property that's been in our family ever since my grandparents, still hunted by my brothers, grazed all around in the front yard. And when that old man turned his dogs loose, my daddy's dog's going to get him up, neighbor. My brothers and I be have that Tombigbee River lined up. Everything coming out them swamps. And the deer that you don't kill, those dogs will run that deer way out of hearing. But if don't nobody shoot them, don't nobody get them, them dogs always find their way back home, neighbor.
But not a sheep. Not a sheep.
That's the reason when somebody fall away, you got to call. You got to ask. You got to go out there and try to restore them. But they'll never find their way back home. You take those old, you remember those homing pigeons? This was before they had email and cellular phones and all of that. And that was the way of communication. And they'll take those homing pigeons, tie a message around that leg. And they'll take that pigeon and throw that pigeon up in the air. That pigeon will flutter, and that pigeon will find its sense of direction. But not a sheep. Not a sheep.
Even a mule.
Ply them out there on that hogback 40. I guarantee you, when that sun starts going down, you don't have to tell that mule where his home is. All you got to do is just unharness him, take that bridle off him, and I guarantee you, that mule is not going to try to get in somebody else's barn. That mule is not going to stop in somebody else's dry patch. That mule is going straight to his own barn. That's a good lesson from some of our men who can't find their way back home. Especially on a Friday when they got their paycheck in their pocket. Don't have mule sense. But not a sheep, neighbor. Not a sheep. Sheep have no sense of direction. Notice verse number 2. Notice verse number 2 again. He makes me. I want you to notice the sufficiency of the shepherd. Let me broaden this just a little bit and then I'll quit. He makes me lie down, watch it, in brown pastures. I mean withered pastures. Okay, dry pastures. I'm showing you the sufficiency of the shepherd. He has all that you need. Notice it. He leads me beside muddy waters, stagnant waters, poisonous waters. He makes me lie down in pastures that are green. He leads me beside calm, still waters. This is the all sufficiency of the shepherd.
We need to learn how to lie down on God.
If you want to handle stress. Now notice the security and the safety of the shepherd.
In Isaiah 40 and verse 11. This messianic prophet, he wrote these words.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Oh, I need a shepherd like that. Have you ever been down, hospital, where the Lord had to carry you?
Carry you over difficulties. Carry you when the reverses of life have knocked you down and laid you low. That's the kind of shepherd neighbor that I need. That's the sufficiency of him. Let's look at verse number 2 one final time. One final time. He makes me lie down. He passes that are green. He leads me beside still waters. Think with me, please. When the sheep belly is full, he's now in the shade. He is now being still. And what the sheep does, the sheep bring up what he had ingested. What are you saying, shepherd?
I'm saying this. When you and I leave Sunday services, we need to go home and we need to bring back up what we've studied in Bible study.
We need to bring back up what the preacher has preached during the Sunday morning worship hour. We need to bring back up what the preacher has preached during the Sunday evening worship. And we need to now digest what he has preached, what we have ingested. We need to go home. We need to get by some still waters. And we need to bring up, if you want to be happy, if you want to be joyful, if you want to be glad, you got to get full of righteousness. That's the strategy for stress. You got to bring back up what the preacher has preached and what you've studied on that morning. You got to learn how to chew the cud. You got to learn some stillness. And as a result of stress, even members of the church have stretched themselves out because they run. They go. The whole entire weekend after they've worked all week. And as a result, you know what happens? Insomnia. You know what happens? Sleeping pills. You know what happens? Many are taking Valiums. You know what happened? Blood pressure's up. You know what happens? Always on edge. Always on edge. Because we're so stressed out. How to handle stress? You take verse number 2. And you lie down in pastures that are green. See, the green pastures was not so much for eating because they've already have eaten. And if they were for eating, they wouldn't be green. They'll be gone, wouldn't they? So it was a lush, tight bed for the sheep to comfortably lie down and rest by waters that are quiet and still. They're not drinking the water because it wouldn't be still. It'll be ripply. And that's a strategy for stress. Get your songbooks together. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, you just might be one that has not properly prioritized your activities, properly prioritized
your chores, your errands, your home, your work ethic. I'm happy to say this morning that you can correct that. It just may be that you've never recognized that there is only 168 hours in a week, not 200, but 168. And I've been trying to get 200 hours out of a week. And it has caused my attitude, my behavior, to be sharp and ungodly. And I want to get that straight this morning. I'm so happy that the psalmist can help us. And why won't you get it straight? Ask the church to pray with you and pray for you. If you're with us and you need to be baptized, haven't been studying with a member of the church here, well, certainly you can get that taken care of as well. Whatever your needs are, come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. And properly prioritize your life. Prioritize your time. That your life won't be filled with all kind of stress. Why won't you come while we sing?